Good evening. It's good to be here in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's always a pleasure to be in the body of Christ, wherever we might be and meet and have the opportunity to come together. I'm thankful to be here this evening. It's good to see your smiling faces and be among you, as it always is. I am thankful you all came out this evening, and hopeful that we'll be able to take something home with us. The Lord would want us to remember and to put to practice in our life. We just had a wonderful day today. I was thankful for service we had out at the East Local, and I trust your service here was a fine one. We had a very nice spirit in ours, and it was uplifting to me to hear the testimonies of several of our sisters that stood and bore witness of God's working in their life and His faithfulness, and how God always came through for them, the blessings they had received throughout their life, and the guiding spirit that was with them. And that's the same hope that each of us have. I know that we've all had spiritual experiences and spiritual blessings, and are thankful for that God above, for His Son, Jesus Christ, and for this beautiful gospel message that's been given to us in the last days. As we go out and about and we look at the time that we live in, and at times wonder of some of the things that are happening, and yet again, we can look in the scriptures and find that it's a fulfillment of the things that are written in them and foretold of the day and the time that we lived. One of my blessings this morning was that in our Sunday school, and at the start of it, our whoever's in charge of the Sunday school, whatever, the Sunday school superintendent, that's what they call them, David Rudd, told us to ask the question, what would Christ do when we were making decisions in our life? And he had went on and talked a little bit about that, but I thought it was appropriate and somewhat appropriate for the message this evening. As I was preparing for this, and as I had thoughts come across my mind since Dan had called and asked me to preach this evening, we've just come through the holiday season. A lot of us have been busy, and we had a lot of opportunities to fellowship together, and which were a blessing. I find personally, for me, it's a time of some traditional things, the New Year perhaps, having been raised in a German city of Milwaukee, at New Year's, one of the things that we did as a tradition was you had to have raw beef and onions on rye bread. Well, doesn't go very far today, but to me that was really something. And I guess I still have a little bit of tradition in my family, and even though it might only be me and my nephew these days, but I have to have pickled herring on New Year's Eve. And that's another one that not everybody likes, but I really like it. And I found that this year I had to go out and buy a bottle of it, and I think I was the only one that ate it, but I'm gonna probably have it again next year. But more than that, it's a time to kind of reflect and to sit back, and for me, and I think probably for a lot of us, think about what we have accomplished in the past year or haven't, to consider the blessings that God has poured out upon us in the last year, and count those blessings once again, and the times that He's directed us and watched over us and protected us, some of the spiritual experiences we had and testimonies been given, or our day-to-day walk in life. And, you know, that's a time that I enjoy. I cherish those things. I have an opportunity at this time to do some of the mundane things that you do once a year or something. You know, I arranged some files in my desk, and I got out and I cleaned two closets in my office and rearranged some books and threw some things out, and I put out new folders and new tax records and some financial things that you do at this time of the year. And, you know, it's that time of the year. It's that time to for me and for many of us, and tradition, I think, for a time for us to kind of gather in our thoughts, perhaps regroup a little bit, to consider and to contemplate, and to, a time of meditation, time to regroup, or in today's vernacular, a time to reboot. And to give it new life and bring it, you know. And a little bit about that reboot, you know, all our electronic devices today, a good cure is to, you know, turn it off, unplug it, count to 10, plug it back in, and go and, you know, start over. So we have somewhat of that opportunity at the end of the year. We had that opportunity this morning where most of us were able to partake of the Lord's Supper. And come and remember the covenant that we made with him when we went down into the waters of baptism, and to contemplate and to refocus and to draw ourselves closer to our Lord and Master. And so I believe that's a time for all of us to kind of regroup and to look within ourselves and take a time to adjust, just see where we are in our relationship with our Heavenly Father. In preparing or into thinking of these things, I had several scriptures come to mind, and one of them was read by one of the brothers there at the East Local in the last week. And it's from the Proverbs in the sixteenth verse. I'm going to really use scriptures that we've all read a lot. We've thought about them, we've read it, and I'm going to read quite a few of those and want to talk about it and just give us a time to reflect on the wisdom of the words and the things that the Lord has told us. In Proverbs, in the sixth chapter, in the 16th verse, it says, "These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him: a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren." Those things to just a listing of some of the items that the Lord despises, and they're abomination to him. And we should attempt to rid ourselves, and we have a need to rid ourselves of those things, those imaginations, those thoughts of our heart, or things that have crept in. I know that most of us might not, you know, partake of any of these, but surely not most of them. But, you know, a thought is that it's the thought that's in them. You know, are we walking proudly before our Heavenly Father? Do we find ourselves running before him, not listening to his still small voice to direct us, having our own will accomplished first in our lives rather than the Lord's? Are we taking a time to asking the Lord for that direction in our daily walk in life, whatever we might be doing, the decisions that we make and our actions and our reactions to things? Or a lying tongue? and has hands that shed innocent blood. Well, you know, I don't think any of us are lying or killing people or anything, but, you know, have we offended? Have we misinterpreted? Have we not stated everything completely? Or what is our relationship with our Heavenly Father? Have we been lying of sort to Him? You know, and I have to look, and I'm talking to myself here. And do we have a relationship with Him that we completely trust and allow Him to direct us in our life? Do we think about those things and sometimes might even put them to practice that draws us away from our Heavenly Father, those imaginations that lead to those things that separate us from, if it's envy or strife or whatever it might be, those things that we need to consider and remove them from our life and replace them with the things that God has asked us to do. Or do we find that our feet, you know, we're always running towards the things that cause mischief or something? Or do we find ourselves in those places that perhaps we shouldn't be? That Jesus wouldn't want us to be there? And, you know, I think we might all consider that at times. And we might. But I think what this is telling us is, you know, the obvious things, of course, but that we must allow God to direct us from the time that we get up in the morning until we lie down at night, and ask Him for His direction, for His love and His guiding spirit to be with us, that we might be more like the example that His Son is for us, that we might have the love for one and for another, that we might wake up every day to do the will of our Father rather than the will of ourselves, which is our natural inclination to do. Those things that pertain to me physically or they become the most important things in my life. But are they supposed to be? Or making a false witness, or not witnessing for Christ when we should and know that we should, by the example we walk, or our actions, or what we might repeat of others. We find ourselves murmuring and complaining, or are we putting forth those things that Jesus Christ would like us to put forth? Are we the peacemakers? Are we drawing together to bring out those good things between us and to develop those that we might be a stronger people, that we might be more like the example of His Son and be that light into the world that He has desires us to be? Or are we murmuring? Are we complaining? Are we making judgments between ourselves? Or to some extent, causing discord among the brethren? Are we aware of our needs for our brothers and sisters more than the needs for ourselves? Are we allowing our mind to be drawn to those things and to be focused on those things of Jesus Christ? A time to reflect, a time to meditate on these things, a time to reboot, to consider them daily, moment by moment, as we walk through our daily life. Next scripture was from the Romans, the 12th chapter. I'm going to read a couple verses. Verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, I'm going to get my eyes focused in. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but that you be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that which is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know, the Lord is giving instruction to these things that are being written down, and he's beseeching us by the mercies of God that we present our bodies a living sacrifice, acceptable, holy, acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. You know, we're to the example of his son, he sacrificed himself for us, that we might live. Are we have that same mindset in ourselves to provide our lives, that spiritual sacrifice, to allow his spirit to dwell within us, that others might see him in us and be encouraged and be lifted up, that we might be strong and be able to overcome the trials and tribulations and the down things of the world that we live in. Telling us, don't be conformed to the things that are happening out there. We're to be different. We're called for a different purpose. We've made a commitment and a covenant with our Heavenly Father to be his people, to be like him, to change our lives and allow his spirit to be with us and to be transformed and to have a new mind, even the mind of Jesus Christ. And so I'm hoping that we'd consider these things. You know, one of the Hebrews, I think it's in the third chapter or something, in the first verse, you know, consider Jesus Christ. Consider his life. Consider his purpose to come here to do the complete will of his Father. For his purpose and giving his life for us, that our sins might be forgiven. And to be the example and for his instructions in to encourage us to come, to place our faith and trust and set aside the things of this world, set aside our natural man, and to put on the light of Jesus Christ. We have a scripture in Philippians in the second chapter. I'm going to read verses 1 through 5 in 2 Philippians. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye might be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than himself. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We're to have the mind of Christ. We're to have comfort and fellowship with him. Have a spirit within us and to strive to have that same love and of one mind and one purpose with him. Setting aside those things that we might do for in strife or vainglory but to humble ourselves and look upon the needs of others, that they might receive blessings, that we might be blessings one for another and strengthen ourselves. You know, the references that I've mentioned here now, you know, the First one there, he had the six or seven things that the Lord hates are an abomination to him. Those things that he dislikes. Read some instructions for improvement and some of the things that we're called to put to practice in our life. I'd like to return to some of those thoughts and return to Proverbs and read the third Proverbs 3. Just this time of reflection verses 1-2 for start out with. My son, forget not my law, but let thy heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Reflections of telling us to not forget the commandments of God. But that they might not be grievous to us, but that they might be in our heart. That we, our heart, our desires would be to be obedient to him and place our trust in him. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. You know, have mercy. Be merciful. Ask for forgiveness. Bind those things on our heart that we might have an understanding, that the Lord's Spirit might be among us or with us to direct us in our life. It says, trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean unto not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Now think of that. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. That's hard for us to do. It's hard for me to do. But we're commanded to do it. And lean not unto thine own understanding. How often do we find that we run before the Lord? We have this preconceived ideas what he might want us to do that day. We might have a preconceived idea what the scripture might be speaking to us, and not allow the Lord's Spirit to give us that understanding that is from above, that be placed in our hearts. How many times have any of us, you know, I'm sure all of us, we have read a scripture over and over, and one day we read it, and click. All of a sudden we have an understanding that's from above on it. And so we're being petitioned here to trust in him always. To wait upon him, to allow his understanding, that understanding that comes from above, to work in our life. Be wise, not in thy own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Kind of odd wording, I guess, for us. You know, the health to my navel and marrow to thy bones. You know, it's going to be well with us. It's going to give us spiritual strength. It's going to do us good. It's going to give us the lifeblood of Jesus Christ, just as our bone marrow is the place where our blood cells are manufactured, at least some of them, and gives us life. Be wise in thy own eyes. Fear the Lord. Know that His word is true, that it's going to happen, that we're to give Him honor and praise and petition Him and allow Him to direct us in our life and to depart from evil. Allow His Spirit to speak to us, that we would recognize those evil forces around us and flee from them, to abhor them, to not have anything to do with them. That's what the Word of God tells us. That's why we're to seek His will and allow Him to work among us. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. You know, a promise, an instruction. Honor the Lord with thy substance. With those things that we spend our time, those things that we spend our funds on, those things that we create, they should honor the Lord. And we should consider those when we do that. And we should give of our first fruits to the Lord. We're to pay our tithing. And the Lord, well, what does it say? He will pour out His blessings upon us. You know, that's repeated several times in the scriptures. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. He will bless us. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of His correction. For whom the Lord loveth, He correcteth, even as a father the son in whom He delighteth. You know, I remember a time when I don't have any idea what I did that wasn't right. But my father had brought his belt into the bedroom, and I knew I was headed for trouble. And he sat down beside me on my bed, and he proceeded to tell me that this was going to hurt him more than me. Somehow I had a hard time understanding that scripture. You know. And at the time, I really didn't understand it. But, you know, as we become parents and grandparents, we understand that scripture. The people that this was given to, they understood that, you know, that we're not to despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be weary of His correction, because the Lord loves us, and He chastises us, and He corrects us, sometimes harshly. Usually with a still small voice or a nudge giving us direction, a correction, a reflection, a time to make a change. One of the brothers this morning we talked about a time when he had a young family and he decided to move. And you know, he and his wife decided that was a thing that they ought to do. They lived here in Independence. They wanted to live out in the country. He had been raised out in the country, and so they made a move out to, I guess, an airport or somebody, someplace. And the Lord had to chastise him. You know, he wanted a big garden. He worked hard and everything. And one day the Lord took that garden all away in a hailstorm. And, you know, they found themselves a couple years later moving back to be back among the body of Christ, to be back here in Independence, a little chastising or something. But, you know, now he looks back at that, and he sees the blessings and the urgings and the nudgings of God that at a time he couldn't understand it, but it had a purpose, and it was good, and brought life to his family. And they continued in the church, and his family continues in the church. And so the Lord always knows. And we're to be quick to respond. You know, sometimes we run before Him and then get angry with Him when He nudges us and taps us on the back and says, wait, hold on. But if we place our faith and trust, and if we bear witness to one another of those times that the Lord has turned us and changed us, and we recognize, now understand, it will strengthen all of us. We're to have that mind of Christ. We're to come together into fellowship and to hear our brothers and sisters stand before us and bear witness of these things. Sister this morning stood and bore witness how the Lord was with her. As a young bride, she was away from home and in a... I almost said mental hospital, but I meant military hospital. Having a baby, and she was scared to death. And the Lord's Spirit rested down upon her and told her that everything was going to be well. And she went on to reflect the number of times in her life that that particular testimony was strong to her and the other ones that she was involved with and knew with. And the Lord had spoken to her mother, various people, and directed them in their young lives and in their elderly life. That's the things that the Lord has for us to cherish, to strengthen us, to lift us up, that we might overcome the things and the trials and temptations of the world. Verse 13, happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. You know, that's two different things. Did you notice that there? Happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. You know, we can have knowledge of something or have some brain power or something, but we can know. But to have that understanding and that desire and that fulfillment of that wisdom and put it to practice in our life. Happy is that man. Happy is that man that knows what he needs to do and does it. The Lord will bless us. It says, for the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, the gain thereof than fine gold, than the riches of the world. To have that understanding and that wisdom and to use them. She is more precious than rubies and all the things that can't. She is more precious than rubies and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. That wisdom, that understanding. Length of days is in her hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is every one that retaineth her. Giving us more understandings of the blessings of God for those that follow his example, and the example of his son. We find Proverbs full of those spiritual jewels, I guess, that or literary jewels of the instructions of the Lord and his righteousness and his blessings upon us, that we might read upon them and meditate. Why it might be good to do that at this time of the year, why I thought that one, when our brother used it there, that it struck out to me. I'm going to go back to Romans there, where I left earlier, and continue reading some in that 12th chapter, because there's further instructions for us and calling us to make changes in our life and to be more like the example of Jesus Christ. We've read them. It's good to have them reread and to consider them. I read the first two. Beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, not to be conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, allowing the Spirit of God to make a change within our hearts. Third verse says, for I say through the grace given unto me that every man that is among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. To think of others' needs. I'm going to skip down to verse 9. It says, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Let the love of God be poured out upon us equally, completely, upon all the things that we do, all our actions, all our desires, and allow it to direct us in our life. Don't take anything away from that love that we have one for another, that the love that God has for us, and to use it in our life. Let it shine forth. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, to honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. You know, that's a complete opposite of what we are naturally. You know, we're selfish, we're prideful, and we've got to make that change. We have to be reminded of those things. I have to be reminded. It's, you know, why he tells us, he's provided these scriptures for us, that we might read them and recognize, looking within ourselves, to make those mighty changes in our heart. And to continue, and just to think of the blessings that God has given us as we have done that, the changes that we've made in our lives, each one of us, and in trying to follow the example of Jesus Christ. And yet, the scriptures tells us he has more blessings for us. We can't even think upon the things that the Lord has for us, to those that love him, to those that place his faith, our faith and trust in him, that completely give ourselves over to him, that we might have his mind. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continually instant in prayer. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation. Boy, we lack that. So I lack that at times. I lack that a lot of times. You know, when you think about it, when we're going through trials and things aren't working right, and we don't, sometimes aren't too patient. We aren't patient one with another. We aren't patient with ourselves. And we run before the Lord. But we're to remember to continue instantly in prayer. How many times have we heard a testimony? You know, I had our own personal experiences of some trial that we went through, or something that we had complete distraught over, and then we realize we forgot to pray about it. Sometimes we hear of our kids or grandkids saying, Grandpa, you forgot to pray, or Grandma, you forgot to pray. What a marvelous blessing. If we lose something or some major, you know, some minor thing like that, but some major trials that we might have, the Lord has promised to bless those that seek him. Distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. You know, open up our homes. Open up those things that we have. Open up our resources. Open up our arms and hug one another. Given to hospitality. Given to express our concern and love one for another. You know, excuse me. And we our culture doesn't do that very well today. You know, we're all so busy. You know, we end up sometimes not even knowing our neighbors or the people that are more than one house away from us, much less have a knowing of their trials or their tribulations, and letting them know that we're there for them. Now, we can think back, I can think back to the neighborhood that I lived in when I was a kid, you know, and you know, we didn't lock the doors. We, you know, our homes were open. My neighbors were my like my aunts and uncles. If my aunts and uncles came to our house and we weren't home, they just went next door and spent the afternoon with our neighbors. And we're not, our culture isn't like that. But we're to have that love for one another. And as hospitality, that desire to be among each other that thrives in our life, and that those that are seeking refuge might feel that they're welcome. They can come in and pour out their trials. We're available to them. And that's what the scriptures here are telling us. You know, not to be according to the things of our culture, but to be as Christ would want us to be, his sons and his daughters, to open up our hearts and our resources, our homes, for those that are in need and for our brothers and sisters, being quick to stand and testify of his son, Jesus Christ, and the blessings that we've received. And that doesn't mean, you know, I don't think he's telling us to stand on the corner and preach. I don't think he's telling us to stand and be reading the Bible, you know, out in public, and he's telling us to study and everything. But what he's telling us, know what these things say and put them to practice in your life. Make them part of it. Make that light shine forth to us that others might see that hope that we have. You know, Mosiah, in Mosiah 1, first chapter, Mosiah. I'm going to start with the 116th verse. First chapter of Mosiah, starting with the 116th verse. And moreover, I say unto you that there shall be no other name given, nor any other way, nor means whereby salvation come unto the children of men, only in and through the name of Christ, the Lord omnipotent. For behold, he judgeth, and his judgment is just. And if the infant perish not that denieth in his infancy, but men drink damnation to their own souls. We bring about damnation into our own souls, except we humble themselves and become as a little child, and believe that salvation was and has come. And in through the atoning blood of Christ, the Lord omnipotent. You know, the God has already provided the plan of salvation, even for that innocent child, and as for each of us. But we end up drinking damnation to our own souls. We think of those things of the carnal state. In our mindset, we don't allow that spirit to overrule in our life. But the verse I was trying to get to is the 119th. For the natural man is an enemy to God. In our carnal state, you know, we're an enemy to God, and has been from the fall of Adam, even from the beginning of time, and will be forever and ever. That's our natural state. That's what we are, what we are naturally. But, you know, that three-letter word, or it, and if, you know, if we, you know, if we make a difference, and if we yield to the enticings of the Holy Spirit and put off the natural man and becometh a saint through the atonement of Christ, the Lord, and become as a child, submissive, meek, humble, patient, full of love, willing to submit to all the things which the Lord seeth fit to inflict upon him, even as the child doth submit to his father. You know, I'm sure everybody here has heard me use that reference because, you know, it was meant for me, I think, but I like to use it. We've got to yield. We've got to allow the Spirit to work within us. We have to take the opportunity for that Spirit to be present where we are, where we're walking in a life that we're calling upon it, and allow it to move upon us and change us, to transform us, to renew us, that we might be that vessel that he wants us to be, that he might pour out his Spirit upon us and be purified and cleansed through the atoning blood of Jesus Christ. What a wonderful promise that and blessing that he's given to us, that he provided his Son that we might live. We turn to 2 Nephi in the 13th chapter. Another reference I use all the time. And I'm going to start really before what I was trying to get to, because we've got some other words there. I'm going to start at verse 19. And Nephi's talking. He said, And I heard a voice from the Father saying, yea, the words of my beloved are true and faithful. You know, Christ has been speaking to him. And then Nephi, he has a confirmation of that by the Lord's voice saying, yea, the words of my beloved are true and faithful. He that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. Those of us that endure, those of us that allow that Spirit of God to work in us and to overcome our natural inclinations and our natural self and follow the example, it'll be found well with us. And we shall be saved. We shall receive their eternal reward. We shall be numbered among the righteous. And now, my beloved brethren, I know by this that unless a man shall endure to the end, and following the example of the Son of the living God, he cannot be saved. Wherefore, do the things which I have told you, I have seen that your Lord and your Redeemer should do. For this cause have they been shown unto me, that you might know the gate by which you should enter. For the gate by which you should enter is repentance and baptism by the water. And then cometh a remission of your sins by fire and by the Holy Ghost. Instructions in righteousness. Repeated and explained here. Repeated by the words of Jesus Christ on the Sermon on the Mount to search for that straight and narrow gate which leads to eternal life. That the fine, righteous instructions that the Lord has poured out for us, that we would have an understanding, that we could become his sons and his daughters, that he would hold us in the hollow of his hand and pour out his blessing. It says, For that gate by which you should enter is repentance and baptism by water, and then cometh the remission of your sins by fire and by the Holy Ghost. We have to enter into that way. We have to come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ and repent and change, transform, to set aside our sins and our desires and to allow him to direct us. And for all those of us that have been baptized, we have to remember that. We have to continually renew that and remember it and focus on the words of Jesus Christ. You know, just like he provided that ordinance that we had this morning, that we could come together and we could remember his sacrifice. You could remember his life and blood that he gave for us, that we might live, that regrouping that we had. And he goes on and tells us, you know, we're in that straight and narrow gate, but that's all it's done. We got to continue. There's a purpose. He's called us into the world. There's a purpose for his church on earth today. It's his desires and his great plan to calling to the peoples of the world to come unto him. And so we must endure. We must continue. We must stand up and bear witness in our life of the things, of the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. And it tells us here that we haven't, it's not done. We must continue. And part of the reflection, part of this process of refocusing and rebooting is to telling us, wherefore, verse 29, we must press forward with a steadfastness in Christ, having a perfect brightness of hope, having a complete understanding, allow His Spirit to be with us, directing us, and to have that hope. Hope of what? Perfect brightness of hope. That thing that be our defining influence in our life. Jesus Christ. The hope that we have of eternal life. Of something beyond this life that's better than anything we can imagine. That as we endure and in these trials of life and continue to follow the example that He has promised us eternal life with His Heavenly Father. A time of perfectness, of a condition that we've never had the opportunity to live in. Free from sin, free from fear, free from disease, free from hunger, free from all those things that we have to endure through today. And so we're told to feast and to press forward, endure, have faithfulness, continue with God's direction, steadfastness in Christ, never losing sight of the ultimate goal, and a love of God in all men. Wherefore, if we shall press forward, feasting upon the word of Christ, and endure to the end, behold, thus saith the Father, ye shall have eternal life. What a wonderful blessing. Scriptures lay out the plan for us. Tells us it's going to be difficult. Doesn't say that once we've entered into the gate and accepted Him and followed His example in the waters of baptism, that we weren't going to have trials. That we weren't going to have temptations and afflictions and hardship. No, He says, He's going to bear them with us. We're going to be able to overcome them. There is some hope for us. We don't have to be distraught, but we must place our faith and trust in Him, and He's there for us, and He never changes. A guiding principle in our life of the hope of Jesus Christ. And that's what we need to be reminded of as we start out the new year, as we change our files and do all these things that we do and in the world that we live in, to take the opportunity, look within the scriptures, and allow God to direct us. Keep doing those things that we do that are right. And remember those blessings that He has for us, that He has poured out upon us, the miracles we've seen, the testimonies we've heard, the things that He has revealed to us personally, individually, and collectively. And no, that's only a small part of what the Lord has for us. It's only a fraction of eternal life and the blessings that He has placed for us in the mansions of heaven. And it's going to come to pass. He doesn't forsake us. He is faithful. He'll be with us in that path. And we'll be able to endure. We'll be able to overcome our mistakes, our hardships that we have to endure, the Satan dwelling around us and calling us away. He'll admonish us. He'll correct us. In love and direct us and bless us. That's the promise of God. That's the things that are written in the scriptures. And He goes on and says, and that's the gospel of Christ. That's His promise. And He fulfills His promises. We're to pray often. We're to pray continually. And I just see another scripture over on my next page that I have marked. and it happens to be the one that I have to use all the time for myself. And it's over in the 11th verse of the 14th chapter. He says, "For if you would hearken unto the Spirit which teacheth a man to pray, you would know that you must pray, for the evil spirit teacheth not a man to pray, but teaches him that he must not pray. But behold, I say unto you that ye must pray always, and not faint, that ye must not perform anything unto the Lord, save in the first place ye shall pray unto the Father in the name of Christ, that he would consecrate thy performance unto thee, and thy performance may be for the welfare of thy soul." Put on that. Have that mind of Christ. Allow him to direct us. Open up our ears and listen. Have ourselves spiritually in a condition that small nudging and that small voice would be heard, and that we're seeking it out in our life. We go back onto there's a whole lot of scriptures that are good, as you know. I want to turn back to Philippians. And I'm going to stop because my time's up, but I want you to reread the second chapter of Philippians and the instructions that it gives to us. You know, he's speaking to each one of us. He's nudging us and urging us, you know, to consider, to have that mind of Christ who came as a servant, that we should consider the example, he said, and serve one another in our daily life, to change ourselves, do things without murmuring and disputing, do them because God has told us to do it and he'll bless us, to be more mindful of the needs of others around us, and to look where the Lord might be guiding us and directing us, and that we might humble ourselves in the state, and that we might be obedient to that urgings and nurgings, and be a witness to others for him. So I'd ask that you read that and consider that also, and to I'm going to turn to the 7th chapter of Moroni, the last book in the Book of Mormon. Starting in the 17th verse. "And now, my brethren, seeing that you know the light by which you may judge, which light is the light of Christ, see that you do not judge wrongfully. For with the same judgment which ye judge, ye shall also be judged. Look at things in the light of Jesus Christ. Don't judge others. Don't judge the circumstances we see it fit. Judge it according to Christ's judgments. And it'll be found well with us," it says. "Wherefore I beseech you, brethren, that you should search diligently in the light of Christ, that you may know the good from evil. What would Jesus do? And if you will lay hold upon every good thing and condemn it not, ye certainly will be a child of Christ." What a beautiful promise. He goes on, you know, and he talks in Moroni here and about charity. And he ends up, you know, in the 52nd verse there, he says, "The pure love of God, that bond of perfectness, that things that separate us as Christians to put to practice that love that he has for mankind and for his heavenly Father, that he was completely obedient and came to do his will, that we're to have and to pray for it, understanding that it's against our natural desires, but we have to yield to the enticings of the Holy Spirit. Verse 52, wherefore cleave unto charity, which is the greatest of all, for all things must fail, but charity is the pure love of Christ, and endureth forever, and whoso is found possessed of it at the last day, it shall be well with them. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, pray unto the Father with all the energy of heart. How do we obtain the charity spoken of here in Moroni and 1 Corinthians in the 13th chapter? How do we put those things to practice in our life? What is the scripture telling us here? To pray for it with all the energy of heart, that you may be filled with this love which he hath bestowed upon all who are true followers of his Son, Jesus Christ. We'll have it among us. And, you know, and in such a degree that it'll be a light unto the world. That you may become the sons of God. That when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is, that we may have this hope, that we may be purified even as he is pure. Amen. Thank you for your time. Let's continue to remember each other in our prayers. Let's continue to fellowship one with another, bear witness and testify, and allow the Lord to direct us in our life and to remind us of those times, that the experiences that we've each had, those spiritual jewels that we have, and to be quick to stand and to testify them, to be quick to bear witness, be quick to ask for prayers, for direction. We meet together off to fast and to pray for the welfare of our souls, that the Lord might strengthen us according to his holy will. Thank you.